searching for a heart that will love him. Longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate. And longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And he said, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all. There's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And he says, love me with your heart.
Ministries family, it is Saturday and it's time for us to go to school, and I pray that you have been being schooled in what I feel a lot of people just don't really understand who are part of the body of Christ is we can say things, God is in control, but do we know God is in control? Do we know, do we stand on a firm foundation? So we're continuing in our series on We Believe, not just knowing what, but why we believe what we believe. And we are believing in the kingdom and that God is in control of even right now the things that are going on in the world, that he has not taken his hand off and he has not given up. So with that, let us open in prayer. Father, this morning we thank you because we have proof that you are in control. The sun has risen in the east. We are awake, and we are ready to submit ourselves to you for your teaching, Holy Spirit. We thank you because of Jesus and Jesus alone who's made it possible for us to come to your presence together to learn. So we thank you for the gift, and we thank you for your word this morning. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Good morning. I hear y'all laughing.
Good morning.
Good morning. I see everybody survived the week of bad air and all the other things that have been going on, but we still agree God is in control, right?
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Oh, yes. Thank God. Thank you, Lord, that you're still in control. So with that, we're going to jump right in because today we're actually going to go through a book of the Bible in talking about our understanding of nations, and kingdoms and empires. But we understand that when God created the heavens and the earth, and on earth he created a what?
Family.
A family. God wants family. And that's one thing, if we understand that, that's why everybody that's created is created in his image. We're all family. And God wanted this family to serve and work together with him in making sure that all families of the earth flourish and thrive, and that the earth itself does what it's supposed to do so that it can reproduce like kind. So apple trees can reproduce apple trees, and sheep can reproduce sheep. All right, so we have our working definitions, and I hope, pray you still have your sheet of what a nation is, and somebody would read that, because we're going to keep emphasizing what a nation is, what an empire is, and definitely what the kingdom of God is.
Okay, a nation is a large body of people united by the same Father God or common descent, history, culture, or language, inhabiting a particular country.
Right. And then we have our Greek words that we got when we said it, as Mother said it, God created a family, but we know as the family expanded, that the family still had common descent, all came from the same people. But their history started changing as they moved away from each other. We know that Cain left Adam and Eve and moved away from Adam and Eve, so his history changed. They had different experiences, but they were still family. And the cultures that they adopted, this will help people understand as people moved away from God. Matter of fact, I want to go there real quick in Genesis. I'm not going to find it right now. Yes, Genesis chapter 4. And somebody read verse 26 of Genesis chapter 4.
Seth also had a son, and he named him Enosh. At that time, people began to call on the name of the Lord. Amen.
Okay. Amen. Thank you. So we see that people called on the name of the Lord, but as people were calling on the name of the Lord, they also started calling on the names of other gods and started worshiping other gods. So when we get, I'm trying to help us develop our apologetic, a lot of people will come to you and say things like, well, that's the story. The story of Jesus is the story of Nimrod, or they'll say the story of Jesus is the story of this God or this God. And what it is people, when you move away from the true and living God, your search, your hunger, your desire is for God. He's our creator. He's our father, family. And so what do we do when we can't find exactly what we're looking for?
We substitute.
And then when you have spiritual entities at work in the world, because behind every idol, there is a spirit, they help men develop this desire towards these other gods. So a lot of the stories may sound similar, but really the reality of it is everybody's looking for the same God. We're all looking for the true living God. And praise God for Jesus. He came and revealed him to us. All right. That's our sidetrack for today. We'll talk about that more in detail at another time. All right. So we're studying, we know about nations, and we know that even though there were nations that grew up, that we learned that our early empire was the nation of Egypt. It was still a nation, but we see that different things started coming in to build this empire thing. We see slavery. We see oppression, violence, subjugation, all these different things that God never intended. It's like in your family, you know, if in a family dynamic, everybody's what?
Related.
They related. What else are they? And, okay, amongst siblings, is there a hierarchy? I know there's not an actual hierarchy, but should there be a hierarchy amongst siblings?
Yes, there's privileges for the firstborn.
But should there be a hierarchy amongst siblings?
No.
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 No. Parents love everybody equally.
Yes. They may have favorites. They may get some, may get different, get away with other things that others don't. But as far as they're each the children of the parents, so they're all equal. Now, we know the division of assets later on was not as equal, but that's not what we're getting at right now. Okay. So all of these things started coming up. So we got Egypt comes up. And Egypt is our first kind of whiff of an empire. But last week we studied this one empire that comes up, and it is a beast. What is the name of the empire that rises?
Assyrians.
It's the Assyrians, all right? And we looked at who was one famous person who encountered the Assyrians.
Jonah.
Jonah. All right. Somebody read the definition of empire for us.
A major unit. Oh, I much prefer you go, Mother.
Good morning. A major political unit, which the metropolis or single sovereign authority exercises control over a territory a great extent, or several territories for people through formal annexation or various forms of informal domination.
All right. So Assyria qualifies as an empire, and we're going to see today how they even more qualified as an empire. And what things that we learned about the Assyrians, they were what kind of people?
Ruthless.
What else were they?
They were violent.
They were extremely violent. They were the ones who helped develop weapons of war. All right. Remember I told you last week that they were the ones who were the precursor to crucifixion. They used to impale people on poles and cut their heads off and put their heads on poles to show this is what happens if you rebel against the Assyrian Empire. They were brutal, ruthless, violent. Was this what God intended?
Not at all.
No. We were supposed to be fruitful and multiply and subdue the earth and all the things in the earth, but were we supposed to subdue each other? Subjugation was not God's will. So this is your answer for all of those people who said, well, slavery was in the Bible, but it wasn't God's will. Murder's in the Bible, too. Was it God's will?
No.
It was not.
Theft is in the Bible. Was it God's intention?
No.
So now we have stronger answers when they say slavery is in the Bible. But is this what God intended? No. Mm-hmm. Now you know why he didn't intend it, because he created a family who was supposed to rule with him, not rule over other people. All right, I'm spending time because we're going to lead up. You'll get into some understanding of some other lessons. We're going to go to the book of Daniel after we finish today's lesson, on our next lesson. Let me keep going. All right, so now we have Jonah that goes to Nineveh. Why didn't Jonah want to go to Nineveh?
He was afraid.
He
knew how the Assyrians were, and he knew that God was going to forgive them if they repented, and he didn't like them.
And the reason Jonah didn't like them was because what we just said. What kind of people are the Assyrians?
They were violent.
Violent. So this would be like for our equivalents, if somebody, if the Lord told you to go and walk into the middle of a white supremacist meeting and preach the message to repent for black people, to go into a white supremacist meeting and tell them to repent. And we were like, Lord, do you know the history of these people?
Right.
Do you know what these people have done? You know how they feel about me. And you want me to go do what? So for Jonah, it was the same thing. These people have a history of, these people are ruthless. These people are violent and vile. And by the way, they don't worship you either. Why should I go to them? So Jonah had real issues, and we know how that story ended up. He did what God told him, but he wasn't happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's get into some more about the Assyrians. Because they are a violent and brutal people, we know when Jonah preached to Nineveh, what happened?
They did repent.
But did it last? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 14. Wait a minute. Yep, am I going there first? Yes, I'm going to Isaiah chapter 14. Somebody read Isaiah chapter 14 and read verses 24 through 27.
A message about Assyria. The Lord of Heaven's armies has sworn this oath. It will all happen as I have planned. It will be as I have decided. I will break the Assyrians when they are in Israel. I will trample them on my mountains. My people will no longer be their slaves, nor bow down under their heavy load. I have a plan for the whole earth, a hand of judgment upon all the nations. The Lord of Heaven's armies have spoken. Who can change his plan when his hand is raised? Who can stop him?
All right. Thank you. In the book of Isaiah, in the first 14 chapters, Isaiah is a prophet to Judah and the southern kingdom. And at this time, something is happening in the northern kingdom. Remember, the kingdom split after Solomon. So the kingdom went from being one nation, Israel, to the nation Israel, and then the nation Judah. Israel is the northern kingdom. Judah is the southern kingdom. And Israel has a history of having most of their kings were just ridiculously horrible. They were idolatrous. They were vile. They were violent. So in the first 20-some chapters of Isaiah, Isaiah prophesies against all these nations. And Assyria is one of them. Isaiah says that the Lord is going to do what to Assyria?
He's going to break them.
Going to break them. And can anybody stop this?
No.
Is that verse right there, verse 27? For the Lord Almighty has purposed, and who can thwart him? Now, this is after the revival of Nineveh. Nineveh's revival, they actually repented. They actually got better. But now the Lord is prophesying through Isaiah that he's going to destroy them because obviously they didn't get completely better. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 17, and we're going to look at one of the reasons why they are going to be destroyed. 2 Kings chapter 17, chapter 17, verses 3 through 6. I'm getting my rhythm going. I've only had a half a cup of coffee. Somebody read verses 3 through 6, please. Please excuse the names.
It reads as follows. Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up to attack Hoshea, who had been Shalmaneser's vassal and had paid him tribute. But the king of Assyria discovered that Hoshea was a traitor, for he had sent envoys to So king of Egypt, and he no longer paid tribute to the king of Assyria as he had done year by year. Therefore, Shalmaneser seized him and put him in prison. The king of Assyria invaded the entire land, marched against Samaria, and laid siege to it for 3 years. In the 9th year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria captured Samaria and deported the Israelites to Assyria. He settled them in Halah in Gozan, in the Habor River, and in the towns of the Medes. Amen.
Read verse 7 for me real quick, please.
Verse 7?
Yes.
All this took place because the Israelites had sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them up out of Egypt from under the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. They worshipped other gods.
All right. So now you're fine there. I just wanted to get that point in. Why is this happening to Israel? Why did the Assyrians invade Israel? What was the real reason?
The Lord sent the Assyrians to...
Here's what I found.
Yeah, because of their idolatry.
For their idolatry. And then on top of it, Israel made a pact with who?
Egypt.
We remember Egypt and Israel's relationship, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
That would be severed.
And they went back and they made a deal with them. Remember, this is Israel, the northern kingdom at this time. So God used the Assyrians to punish Israel for their sin, for their idolatrous behavior and their wickedness. Something else happens in this too, because we're talking about an empire. And I want to show you that Assyria is a true empire. Somebody read verses 22. Wait a minute. Verse 24 through 26.
The king of Assyria transported groups of people from Babylon, Cuthah, Ava, Hamath, and Sepharvaim, and resettled them in the lower towns of Samaria, replacing the people of Israel. They took possessions of Samaria and lived in its towns. But since these foreign settlers did not worship the Lord, when they first arrived, the Lord sent lions among them, which killed some of them. So the message was sent to the king of Assyria. The people you have sent to live in the towns of Samaria do not know the religious customs of the God of the land. He has sent lions among them to destroy them because they have not worshipped him correctly.
All right. So now we see the Assyrians take it people from Israel, move them to Assyrian towns, and then they take other people and move them to Israel's places. So they resettled Israelites. They moved them out of their land and they moved other people into their land. What's the definition of an empire? Major political unit which the metropolis or a single sovereign authority exercises control over a territory of great extent or several territories or people through formal annexation or various forms of, in other words, this is empire behavior. We are in Assyria, we're in capital city Nineveh, but we're ruling over Israel. And we're ruling and we're moving people out of there and moving them into another place. It's part of the domination, it's part of conquering. This is not the will of God, because whose land was that?
That was God's land.
That was God's land. And what proof do we have from what she just read, how sacred that land is? Look at verse 25.
But since these foreign settlers did not worship the Lord, they first arrived. When they first arrived, the Lord sent lions among them, which killed some of them.
So you in God's territory, the territory he set apart for his people, you move them out, you move strangers in, and because they don't worship the God who's over that land, what happens?
Lions were sent to destroy them.
He killed them to prove this is my land. These are my people. But again, this is what happens under an empire. You move people around. You send people where they don't. Oh, goodness. I'm going somewhere with this. You send people where they don't reside to go live somewhere else. And you send other people into the land and wonder why they don't thrive when they get there. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Sounds a little bit like American history. Anyway, let's keep going. All right, so the Assyrians, you get a bigger picture of what kind of people they were, and now we already know that God has prophesied that he is going to destroy them because of what they have done and also because of their wickedness. Now we're going to go to, let's see. The book of Nahum. This is one of the minor prophets between Micah and Habakkuk. The book of Nahum. Let's talk about what happens to this empire before it happens. All right. So roughly 100 years after Jonah goes, Nineveh repents, they have a revival, but now we know that they're back at it. They've invaded Israel. They strengthened their empire. The word of the Lord comes concerning Nineveh. So somebody read Nahum, and this word is going to the people in Judah to comfort them because of what's happening in Israel. Somebody read for chapter 1 of Nahum, verses 1 through 3.
This message concerning Nineveh came in a vision to Nahum, who lived in Elkosh. The Lord's anger against Nineveh. The Lord is a jealous God, filled with vengeance and rage. He takes revenge on all who oppose him and continues to rage against his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger, but his power is great, and he never lets the guilty go unpunished. He displays his power in the whirlwinds of a storm. The billowing clouds are the dust beneath their feet. You said 1 through 3.
Right. 1 through 3. All right. So who's this prophecy against?
Nineveh.
Nineveh is the capital city of what empire?
Assyria.
And remember, 100 years before, they had a revival. They had a come to Jesus, well, a come to God moment. And now, 100 years later, they're being prophesied against. And it says that our God, the Lord, the one who's avenging, is jealous. Mm-hmm. But he's slow to anger, because they've had 100 years since their revival to turn from their brutal, dominating, empirical ways. All right, pick up, Loretta, if you would, and read verses 7 through 15 of chapter 1.
Okay. The Lord is good, a strong refuge when trouble comes. He is close to those who trust in him. But he will sweep away his enemies in an overwhelming flood. He will pursue his foes in the darkness of the night. Why are you scheming against the Lord? He will destroy you in one blow. He won't need to strike twice. His enemies tangled like thorn bushes and staggered like drunks while being burnt up like stubble in a field. Who is this wicked counselor of yours who plots evil against the Lord? This is what the Lord says. Though the Assyrians have many allies, they will be destroyed and disappear. O my people, I have punished you before, but I will not punish you again. Now I will break the yoke of your bondage from your neck and tear the chains of Assyrian oppression. And this is what the Lord says concerning the Assyrians in Nineveh. You will have no more children to carry on your name. I will destroy all the idols and the temples of your God. I'm preparing a grave for you because you are despicable. Look, a messenger is coming over the mountains with good news. He is bringing a message of peace. Celebrate your festivals, O people of Judah, and fulfill all your vows, for your wicked enemies will never invade your land again. They will be completely destroyed.
All right. So after God gave him 100 years, so we can't say that the Lord is not long-suffering. We can also say it's not fair God is destroying the Assyrians. Why? He's destroying them because their wickedness. They haven't turned. Their repentance, that generation repented, but evidently the rest of them picked it right back up. Idolatry, violence, oppression. They're an empire. And remember, God created a family, and he wanted the nations to behave like families, not like oppressors and champions of violence. But here we have, in verse 15, we have euangelion. What is euangelion?
Good news.
Good news. What's the good news?
Gospel, the word of God.
So what good news is being shared here?
A message of peace.
To who?
People. For Israel.
The people in the land.
The people of Judah. Yeah.
The people of Judah specifically, because this is who Nineveh, Nahum is prophesying to. He's letting them know that God is going to avenge. God is going to deliver. That's good news.
Mm-hmm.
Kingdom. What's our definition of kingdom of God? The reign and rule of God.
Okay, God's reign in the world as he intended from the beginning.
All right. So in this situation, what is God saying? He's in what?
He's in control.
He's in control. That's the good news to his people. I'm still in control, even though the Assyrians are an empire. And they have dominated the northern kingdom. They're dominant in the world. The Assyrians actually have dominated even Babylon at this point. So they are the superpower in the world that they know of. And here God is pronouncing judgment on them. We're going to continue because we're going to go through chapter 2. And somebody read chapter 2. Of Nahum.
2:1.
Chapter 2, the whole chapter, 1 through 13.
Your enemy is coming to crush you, Nineveh. Man the ramparts, watch the roads, prepare your defenses, call out your forces. Even though the destroyer has destroyed Judah, the Lord will restore its honor. Israel's vine has been stripped of branches, but he will restore its splendor. Shields flash red in the sunlight. see the scarlet uniforms of the violent troops. Watch as this glittering chariot move into position with a forest of spears waving above them. The chariots race restlessly along the streets and rush wildly through the squares. They flash like firelight and move as swiftly as lightning. The king shouts to his officers. They stumble in their haste, rushing to the walls to set up their defenses. The river gates have been torn open. The palace is about to collapse. Nineveh's exile has been decreed, and all the servant girls mourn its capture. They moan like doves and beat the breast in sorrow. Nineveh is like a leaking water reservoir. The people are slipping away. Stop, stop, someone shouts, but no one even looks back. Loot the silver, plunder the gold. There's no end to Nineveh's treasures. It's vast, uncounted wealth. Some of the city is plundered empty and ruined. Hearts melt. The knees shake. The people stand haste, their faces pale and trembling. Now, where now is the great at Nineveh, that dean filled with young lions? It was a place where people, like lions and their cubs, walked freely and without fear. The lion torn up the meat of its cubs and strained its prey for his mate. He filled his den with prey. His caverns, like his blunder. I'm sorry, with his blunder. I am your enemy, say the Lord of Heaven's armies. Your chariots will soon go up in smoke. Your young men will be killed in battle. Never again will you plunder conquered nations. The voices of your proud messengers will be heard no more. Amen.
Thank you. Okay, you see there's a lot there. But what is God saying about Nineveh? Nineveh being the capital city, so you know it would be like somebody saying it's against Washington, D.C. God saying it's against Washington, D.C. What happens? What's going to happen to them?
Nineveh's going to fall.
It's going to fall. And remember, what do they put their pride in? What is their big thing?
Their wealth.
Expanding
their wealth. Their empire. Expanding their empire. Their wealth. So their domination, their wealth. And then how do they dominate? How do they gain wealth? Through what?
Violence.
Through violence. Through their military. What does God say about their military?
Look at verse 5. The chariots will go up in smoke. Okay.
Okay, that's good. That's good. The chariots will go up in smoke. What does he say in verse 5 about their choice troops, their elite guard?
They stumble.
They stumble in their haste, rushing to the walls to set up their defenses.
So they're going to, so even their elite guard, that's what that language is in verse 3 about the soldiers that carry these shields and the warriors clad in scarlet. These are your elite guard. These are your people that are, you know, when these guys show up, these are your warriors.
Okay.
And he's saying when they rush to get ready to take their position, they will stumble and fall. They won't even be able to take up position. And then when the chariot riders come in, their chariots will go up in smoke. And of course, when it's talking about the plundering the silver, plundering the gold, their wealth, everything that they take pride, this empire is built on, God is going to destroy. All right? And then on top of it, let's get into chapter 3, because I said we're going through the book of Nahum today. Chapter 3, somebody read chapter 3, verses 1 through 19.
The Lord's judgment against Nineveh. What sorrow awaits Nineveh, the city of murder and lies, crammed with wealth and is never without victims. Hear the crack of whips, the rumble of wheels, horses, hooves pound, and the chariots clatter wildly. See the flashing swords and glittering spears as the charioteers charge past. There are countless casualties, heaps of bodies, so many bodies that people stumble over them. All this because Nineveh, the beautiful and faithless city, mistress of deadly charms, enticed the nation with her beauty. She taught them all her magic, enchanting people everywhere. I am your enemy, says the Lord of Heaven's armies, and now I will lift your skirts and show all the earth your nakedness to shame. I will cover you with filth and show the world how vile you really are. All of you will shrink back and say, Nineveh lies in ruins. Where are the mourners? Does anyone regret your destruction? Are you any better than the city of the bees, situated on the Nile River, surrounded by water? She was protected by the river on all sides, walled in by water. Ethiopia, and the land of Egypt gave unlimited assistance. The nations of Put and Libya were among her allies. Yet Thebes fell, and her people were led away as captives. Her bodies were dashed to death against the stones of the streets. Soldiers threw dice to the Egyptian officers and servants. All their leaders were bound in chains, and you, Nineveh, will also stagger like a drunken. You will hide for fear of attacking enemy. All your fortresses will fall. They will be devoured like the white seeds that fall into the mouths of those who shake the trees. Your troops will be as weak and helpless as women. The gates of your land will be open wide to the enemy and set on fire and burn. Get ready for the siege. Store up water. Strengthen the defense. Go into the pits to trample clay and pack it into molds, making bricks to repair the walls. But the fire will devour you. The sword will cut you down. The enemy will consume you like locusts, devouring everything they see. There will be no escape, even if you multiply like swarming locusts. Your merchants have multiplied until they outnumber the stars. But like a swarm of locusts, they strip the land and fly away. Your guards and officials are like the swarming locusts that the crowd together on, that crowd together in the hedges on a cold day. But like locusts, they fly away when the sun comes up. All of them will fly away and disappear. Your shepherds are asleep, O Assyria king. Your princesses lie dead in the dust. Your people are scattered across the mountains with no one to gather them together. There is no healing for your wound. Your injury is fatal. All who hear of your destruction will clap their hands for joy. Where can anyone be found who has not suffered from your continually cruelty? Amen.
All right.
So now,
in this third part of this prophecy against Nineveh, we see that Assyria is going to be what?
Destroyed.
Destroyed.
Utterly destroyed.
Yeah.
And it's going to be just as humiliating as it was. Remember, when she was reading in about Thebes and the Cush in Egypt, these were people who were allies to them. These were people that helped them. They controlled them, and they won't even be able to help them. There'll be no help for Assyria. because God is going to utterly destroy them because of their sin. And because of that, guess what happens in 612 B.C.?
And they're destroyed.
Assyria is destroyed. The empire is completely destroyed. And who do you think takes them out?
Babylon?
Babylon. The Babylonians. So you see that the empires, which are not God's plan, God did not intend for this to happen. But this is what happened when man says, I'm God. I take over, I conquer, I destroy, I enslave, I don't worship the true living God. Ultimately, mm-hmm. God will destroy you because it's not his intention. And he will, who did God, did God throw fireballs from heaven to destroy Nineveh?
No.
No,
he used two.
People.
And included, he used another empire. Because now we move on to the next empire. All right, let's go. You got your sheets. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 25. And somebody read verses 1 through 11 of Jeremiah chapter 25.
It reads as follows. The word came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, which was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. So Jeremiah the prophet said to all the people of Judah and to all those living in Jerusalem, for 23 years, from the 13th year of Josiah, son of Ammon, king of Judah, until this very day, the word of the Lord has come to me, and I have spoken to you again and again, but you have not listened. And though the Lord has sent all his servants, the prophets, to you again and again, you have not listened or paid attention. They said, turn now each of you from your evil ways and your evil practices, and you can stay in the land the Lord gave to you and your ancestors forever and ever. Do not follow other gods to serve and worship them. Do not arouse my anger with what your hands have made. Then I will not harm you. But you did not listen to me, declares the Lord. And you have aroused my anger with what your hands have made, and you have brought harm to yourselves. Therefore, the Lord Almighty says this, because you have not listened to my words, I will summon all the peoples of the north and my servant Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, declares the Lord, and I will bring them against this land and its inhabitants and against all the surrounding nations. I will completely destroy them and make them an object of horror and scorn and an everlasting ruin. I will banish from them the sounds of joy and gladness, the voices of bride and bridegroom, the sound of millstones, and the light of the lamp. This whole country will become a desolate wasteland, and these nations will serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Amen.
Amen. All right, thank you. So here Jeremiah prophesies, what nation is going to take down the nation of Judah?
Babylon.
And they're already controlling the northern kingdom because they've taken out the Assyrians. And so when you read through the kings, Second Kings, predominantly in the Chronicles, and then some of the minor prophets. This is where you pick up these pieces of these stories, because as we know, our Bible was not put together, the Old Testament was not put together chronologically. It was put together literarily. You know, we got the Pentateuch, and then we got the Psalms, the literature, we got the history books. It's because our Bible is a bunch of books. And so they weren't put together like, okay, this happened, and then next this happened, and then next this happened. It's not put together that way. So when we read it, we have to go and we have to kind of look and see, wait a minute, where does this line up at? Where is this happening at? So I hope that, like, when we were reading through Nahum, you realized that, wow, Nahum was talking about Assyria's destruction, even though Nahum is put in the back of what we call the New Testament, of the Old Testament, the minor prophets. It's put together with Jonah and all of those books, but Jonah happened 100 years before. So this is when it's good to use your timelines in your Bibles too as well to figure out what's going on. But anyway, the Babylonian Empire is the next empire, and Babylon is going to be the greatest empire, because as we're going to work through this, you see, and I hope you're seeing this, and we're going, God is in control. God foretold that Assyria would be destroyed through his prophets. Assyria is destroyed. We don't know Assyrians today. We can't. The nations are divided again to this day. But that's not the last superpower. We even see it in our day. This superpower empire is continuing trying to that whole Ukraine Russia thing. That's all about empire. But what we're going to notice is when we start reading Daniel, which is going to be part of your assignment. Read the first 5 chapters of Daniel. We're going to find out what happens to empire, because it's not what God intended. God intended for kingdom, family, for him to rule, and people, the nations, to rule with him. And if we can understand this, we see why things are so wrong, and then we realize that those of us who are in the kingdom of God right now, what our mission is in the world. Our mission in the world is not to overrule these empires. Our mission is to expand the kingdom of God while we're in these empires. And we'll look at our, when we, leading forward, we'll see, because our greatest example who we're coming back to is Jesus, who tells us how to live kingdom under an empire. Last question, question 14. Where do these two empires originate? Real quick, let's go to Genesis chapter 10, and we're going to finish with this. And somebody read verses 6 through 11 real quick of Genesis chapter 10.
Lizian, Put, and Canaan. Cushan, Seba, Havilah, Shapta, Ramah, and Septica, and Ramah's son, Sheba, and Dedan. Cush fathered Nimrod, who began to be powerful in the land. He was a powerful hunter in the sight of the Lord. This is why it is said, like Nimrod, a powerful hunter in the sight of the Lord. His kingdom started with Babylon, Erech, Akkad, and Kana in the land of Shinar. From the land, he went to Assyria and built Nineveh, Rehoboth, Ir, Kala, and Rezin between Nineveh and the great city Kala.
All right. So who did these two empires originate from?
Ham.
From Ham and Cush.
From Ham through Cush through who?
Mizraim. Cush and Canaan?
Cush was the father of who?
Nimrod.
Nimrod. And what was Nimrod known for?
A warrior. Heroic warrior.
A warrior. Violence. All right. Are we putting, I hope you're getting the pieces. I hope you're putting them together. If you got any questions, you can get a redo on the Sunday school because we're going to be tackling this in a couple weeks, but I'm going to give them more detail because we'll be in person. And also, you can always email me or call me, and I will answer what questions I can or point you to where you can kind of start putting this information together. But this violent, controlling, enslaving empires have a root. But guess what? We're all family. Because Ham was the son of who?
Noah.
So everybody is family. But nobody was meant to dominate. All right. So with that, I thank you all for going through. I know sometimes some of these lessons, they're not a lot of big aha moments, but if we can get the details, stuff will start making more sense as we read through scripture, that we're reading histories and we're reading connected. This is not just a bunch of random things written down or some strange prophetic utterances. God was saying something through the prophet Nahum and Jeremiah and Isaiah. And ultimately, he was saying, I'm in control. And even though these empires rise up, they will all fall under my kingdom. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you because we can say without hesitation that you are in control. So we can trust that this story will end the way you said it will. But right now, while we're in it, we ask that we just hold on to you and we live submitted, following you and ruling with you. We thank you and praise you for what you're going to do through the rest of this service today. Be exalted in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. All right. Great. Another good lesson, Sister Janice. And we just thank you. We appreciate you. We can't wait to the next lesson. And we just thank you and appreciate you. Have a beautiful day.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. All righty. Okay, so if you're not participating in the next part of the service, just depress your one so we can take you off of the host queue. And if you're participating in the next part of the service, just stay on. And then just get your cookies, your crumpets, your coffee, and your tea. And after this selection, we will start our morning worship service. Amen.
To come to the one who sits on the throne.
glory, honor, and power. Praise his name. And the sun is shining on both sides of the street, and this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Buck Talk listeners all around this beautiful world, to Running for Christ Ministries morning, Saturday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship the Spirit, brought to you by Running for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start off with our proclamation, scripture, and prayer. And at Running for Christ Ministries, we believe is vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. And we have this morning to help us do so with our proclamation, scripture, and prayer is our very own Sister Deaconess Rebecca Johnson. Good morning, and thank you for being with us this morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. I'll start with our proclamation, and it reads, it's titled, Why We Are Here Proclamation. And it reads, we proclaim that Jesus the King preexisted as God the Son. Jesus the King was sent by God the Father. Jesus the King took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David. Jesus the King died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. Jesus the King was buried. Jesus the King was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Jesus the King appeared to many witnesses. Jesus the King is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ. Jesus the King has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule and will come again as the final judge to rule. In our scripture, it's titled, Do Not Worry. And it comes from Matthew chapter number 6, verses 25 through 34. That's Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34. It reads as follows. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Much more valuable than they. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. First his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will participate in this worship service now or later. Father, we thank you today for this opportunity to offer you some much deserved praise and thanksgiving.
We pray that our songs, prayers, and the preached word lift Jesus so that all who are lost today will be found. We ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask for these blessings. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Rebecca Johnson, Deaconess, for that, all of it. We just thank you for everything, and we appreciate you. Have a beautiful day.
Thank you for the opportunity, and you too.
Thank you. Okay, now that we have acknowledged our ways into the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own Shepherd Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
You and obey. There is an end. Amen. Don't you get it? The Lord said to Israel, I need you to come up out of Egypt. All they had to do was say, yes, Lord. God brought 10 plagues and brought them out. And then they come to the Red Sea.
Yes. Yes.
And the Red Sea tries to block their way, but God says to Moses, why are you panicking when Pharaoh and them started chasing them? Why are you panicking and crying out to me? You and this people get up and cross this sea. All they had to do was say, yes, Lord. And guess what? God built a road through the sea for them, saved them, took out the Egyptians. God says, it's time to come up out of this wilderness you've been going around for 40 years, but Sihon and Og didn't want them to pass. But they said, yes, Lord. And guess what God did? Took out Sihon and Og. And then they come to the Jordan River, ready to cross over into the promised land, and it's in the way. It's that flood stage. God says, cross over. The people say, yes, Lord. Guess what? The Red Sea, the Jordan River, it parted. God said your blessings on the inside of the walls of Jericho. They said, yes, Lord, marched around 7 days, once each day, and then 7 times on that 7th day, and then they praised God, and the walls fell. I think you got it by now. Amen.
Hallelujah. Want to sing a chorus, and it's a chorus of surrender to the Lord. We want to say yes to Jesus. We want to give our all to Him. We want to totally surrender to Him so that He can take control of our lives and so that His will can be done in our lives. That's His will for each and every one of us. So we want to sing that song to Him today, and we want you to lift your hands as we worship the Lord with this song, and we're going to sing yes to our God.
Thank you.
Jesus. We thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you, Jesus, for your presence in this room right now. And we thank you, Jesus, that you are great, and you are mighty, and you are real, and you are pure, and you are holy. We love you today, Jesus. And we're so thankful, God, that we could lift our praises up to you. We're so thankful, God, that we can worship you in spirit and in truth, because you are worthy, Heavenly Father. For we truly adore you today. We love you. We magnify you. You are everything, Jesus. Hallelujah. One more time.
In our Christian life, stop telling God no and start telling God yes. Yes to his will, not yes to our will we want him to do for us, but yes to his will. Yes to saving souls. Yes to teaching saved souls. And yes to helping souls, whether they're in or outside the body of Christ. When will we be available to him every single day to do that? You know, we told Jesus we would, because he said we would receive power after the Holy Spirit came upon us. And down here in the devil's world, we would have the power from him to affect the will of God right here on earth, his will on earth as it is in heaven. When will we say yes to that? When will we say yes? When will we give ourselves away to him?
I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can.
Come on, let him know.
I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away.
What would happen if a generation embraced it? Come on, tell him.
Here I am. Here I am. Thank you.
Pastor, we just thank you. We thank you and appreciate you because you always take us there. And we thank you for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. And our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged. Amen. Which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns because there is power in prayer. Following this selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own sister, Sunday school teacher of our little people and our youth, Associate Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive our very own Associate Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
Just trying to figure it out, fighting doubt, trying to believe God, trying to watch the words of my mouth and stay on the ground. Trouble come and go, even on the mountain high or the valley low. Never let your faith go. Oh,
never let your faith go.
I've been there before, so confused, don't know which way to go. Stressed out, world so crazy, might as well stay in the house. Fear trying to rise up, got terrorists to
they look like us, but we know who we trust. Trust when I say that we gon' be alright. We gon' be alright.
Tell them,
we gon' be alright. Alright.
Say
we gon' be alright.
In these last days, evil times will come, and it's here today. Look at all the hate, senseless crime and murder.
Day day,
human trafficking, racism, police brutality, bullying, rape, trouble, and shame.
Shame the fears and evil I pay.
Let your kingdom come, let your will be done
in the earth.
Let your glory rise, let your sun shine.
Let it burn.
Lord, we thank you for all of the opportunities given to be able to speak to you. We ask that you bless us As we continue to align ourselves with your will, Lord, and we ask that you continue to pour into us that is that we need of you, Lord, so that we continue to work for you. Thank you again for the breath in our lungs, the birds, Lord. Thank you for the fresh air, Lord. Thank you for awakening us to be able to live a new day, Lord. And thank you for the opportunity of repentance and forgiveness, Lord. And we ask that you just hold us, Lord, as we need to be held, if we need to be held, Lord. And we ask that you provide us with tools, Lord, to be able to intercede for others, Lord. And we ask that you provide us with tools to be able to intercede for ourselves if need be. Lord, we thank you for the ultimate sacrifice that you gave us, Lord. And we thank you for the gift that you continually give those that have not received it yet. We ask that you create our lives to be beams of light for others, Lord. We ask that you begin to just transform us in a way that we are not conforming to this world, Lord, but that we are just renewing our mind every day in your will and in your way, Lord, so that we remember what the goal is. Lord, we ask that you, any distractions, that you rebuke those distractions, Lord, and we ask that you bind up anything that comes in the way of us doing your will, even if it's ourselves. Lord, we again thank you for all of the blessings that you give us on a daily basis, but we ask that those extra blessings that you see fit that we are given, Lord, we ask that you remind us to also say thank you. We ask that you protect these children as they're not in school, Lord, and as some commute back and forth to some summer programs, or they're just at home having a good time, Lord. We ask that you keep them out of harm's way. We ask that those children that sometimes struggle to get food, Lord, that you give them more than enough. We ask that you give those teachers that might be missing finances more than enough, Lord. We ask that you give every piece of the puzzle when it comes to a child more than enough to be able to give every child what they need to be able to be whole. We thank you for our leaders, Lord, as they sit in places that affect our lives, Lord, and we ask that you bless those same leaders with wisdom and discernment, Lord, that they're able to make wise decisions and they're not just making decisions based off their feelings. We ask that you too give us that same wisdom and discernment as we make decisions in our lives, Lord, that they're not just based off our feelings and our emotions, Lord, but they're based off decisions that are going to benefit the kingdom. We thank you again for the breath in our lungs, Lord, but we also thank you for the desires that you give us on a daily basis to be better. Lord, we ask that anything that gets in the way of what you have for us, that you bind it up, Lord, and you cast it away and into a place that we can never see nor touch. I ask that you bless the preacher today, Lord, and you bless everyone that was a part of this service, Lord, but you bless him with the word that comes directly from you. Allow him to be moved completely out of the way so that the word that he brings is something that comes directly from the fountain of life, Lord. We thank you for the sacrifice that he gives on a daily basis to prepare, Lord, and we thank you again for the grace that you give us all to be able to have some type of gift in you. We ask that everyone's week is very uneventful, Lord, and I thank you again personally for today. In Jesus' name, with thanksgiving, amen.
serve him. Somebody help me, yeah. Overwhelmed, look to the cross, and
there we are reminded.
Somebody say, yeah. In the midst of my struggle,
you are here.
Have I faced down the storm?
Prayer. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Associate Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon, for praying and making our request known to God. We appreciate you. Have a beautiful day. All right. I am truly enjoying this service, and I hope you are too. With more to come, I want to say thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Be the reason someone smiled today. Share the love, the joy, and the blessings. Amen? Okay, time for the preach word, a message from God. The best part, icing on the cake. The next voice you will hear following this song selection is our very own man of God, Assistant Pastor Jonathan Tate. So prepare to receive Assistant Pastor Jonathan Tate as he comes in his own way with a word from the Lord. Amen?
Sometimes turning my
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word presence in our lives today. We thank you for this awesome service. Lord, I pray that others that are listening will realize the theme of this broadcast today. It's simply just saying yes to you. Saying yes, Lord, to your will and to your way. Saying yes to being embraced by your love and your power and your glory, and to praise you and to worship you in all aspects of our lives. Lord, move me out of the way. I thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to share your word with your people all around the world. Thank you so much, Lord, for who you are and what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning, brothers and sisters all around the world. My name is Assistant Pastor Jonathan Tate, and we will be diving into John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. I say it all the time, the Lord typically waits until the last minute to give me a word, and usually, not usually all the time, it's on time. And he gave me this word this morning. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness. Darkness has not understood it. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. John was written by one of the disciple John, and the purpose, literally, of the book of John is to present Jesus as the Son of God and for people to realize that if they accept him to their lives as their personal Savior, that they would receive eternal life through Jesus. So simply put, Jesus is the Son of God. And he's the way, the truth, and the life to get to eternal life. So as I listen to the songs and I listen to some of the words the pastor O and the prayers of Associate Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon and listening to Sister Rebecca Johnson to saying yes to Jesus. And when I realized what was going on, you know, I understood that the theme of today was saying yes, Lord, saying yes to his will and to his way. So help, we need to understand that Jesus, when he came to earth, he was fully God and he was fully man, period. Jesus displayed his power as God, but he was also a man who could relate to who we are and what we go through. And one thing that provides comfort to me is knowing that Jesus knew me before I was formed in the womb. You know, and I always thought that that was amazing. And what it pointed to for me was that we didn't just begin existing when our, you know, at conception with our parents or when we were born, but as spirits, we've always existed. Because Jesus can say that before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. So who knows you better than Jesus? And not only that, that he created everything that we see and continues to sustain it. I listened to a debate yesterday, and the guy was actually a former mob boss, Michael Francisi, and he was going back and forth with a guy named Vlad from Vlad TV on YouTube. And he said something, and he said they were going back and forth about the existence of God. Now, this is a mob boss, former mob boss, you know, now a believer. And he asked Vlad one question that he didn't have an answer to. He said, you know, how did everything get started? And Vlad went on to explain, you know, Big Bang theory and, you know, single cells and things like that. And he said, and Michael said, well, where did all of that begin? How can something be created from nothing unless God is behind it or involved in it? And Vlad couldn't answer the question. So when you understand that, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, it's pointing to Jesus. John is written for Jews and non-Jews, which are classified as Gentiles. But John was also an eyewitness to things that Jesus did. The basic truth for us to understand that if we can't believe in Jesus, then we don't believe in who created us, who sustains our lives. Ultimately, you don't even believe in yourself. Because if Jesus knew you before you were formed in the womb, if Jesus created you, and everything that you see, everything that we take advantage of, oxygen, sunlight, everything, your heart beating, your lungs expanding to take another breath, that breath was a blessing. If you can't believe in Jesus, you can't even ultimately believe in yourself or who you are. You believe in science, or you believe that your alarm clock woke you up. You believe that your job sustains your life. And that's simply not true. So I want to read to you a passage regarding verse 1. So what does John mean by the word? The word was a term used by theologians and philosophers, both Jews and Greeks. Now, John's first audience had a Greek background, and, you know, some of us who paid attention to school understand that the Greeks had multiple gods, mythological gods. So part of this purpose, excuse me, allergies are going crazy, part of the purpose of John in this book is to show that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus ultimately is God. Is the Son of God. But Jesus himself is God. So in many different ways, the Hebrew scripture, the Word, and this is capital W, was an agent of creation, as we see in Psalm 33:6. The source of God's message to the people through the prophets in Hosea 1:2, and God's law, the standard of holiness, in Psalm chapter 119, verse 11. But in the Greek, the word was the principal reason of how the world was governed. In Hebrew, the word was an expression of God. But John's description shows clearly that he is speaking of Jesus, a human being he knew and loved, but at the same time, the creator of the universe, the ultimate revelation of God, the living picture of God's holiness, the one in whom all things hold together. The word became flesh was unthinkable to Greek readers, but the word was the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ. So in terms of the word and our standards as far as followers of Christ or Christians, the word is what holds everything together. And that word in this passage is talking about Jesus. Everything is going to point back to Jesus. Amen? Amen. Verse 2 says, he was with God in the beginning. Now, it's not the beginning of your life, the beginning of time. The truth of the matter is that this is a reference point for us to realize that Jesus has always been around. See, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they're not contained by time. They're not contained, by gender or race or even a physical body. Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one. And for us to understand that, simply put, is they work together with different attributes for our behalf, on our behalf. So if the word in the beginning was the word and the word was with God and the word was God and he was with God in the beginning, it's not just a clever wordplay. It's just the absolute truth, the purpose of this book, that Jesus is the Son of God. One thing that I try not to do is get into debates about people, about the Bible, with other people. I simply point to the word being, you know, the Lord, and that this book is a reference in which how I should conduct myself and live my life. You know, because one thing I've learned over the years is that people are going to have their opinions, they're going to have their beliefs. They don't necessarily have to be my beliefs or line up with them. Jesus only sent me to plant seeds, not to change lives. Now, if I can lead someone to Christ, which I have, I've had the opportunity to lead folks to Christ, and it's a wonderful experience. But ultimately, folks have to understand that Jesus was not just a prophet. Jesus is the Son of God who sits at the right hand of God the Father. And for us who are here that are followers of Christ, we have the Holy Spirit, God's very presence inside of us. So we are all connected, whether you want to believe it or not, to Jesus. Even if you're an atheist, you're still a created being. And if Jesus is the creator and sustainer of life, again, ultimately, if you don't believe in Jesus, you don't even believe in yourself. So when the theme of today constantly pops up in prayer and songs and speech, saying, say yes to the Lord, say yes to Jesus. Say yes to yourself. A created, sustained being from the Lord. Hopefully that makes you look at yourself differently when you glance in the mirror that wonderful creation where there's only one of one in the universe. I've shared this story many times. I worked at Ford Motor Company for a summer, and they had a prototype of a Ford Escape. And my union steward and mentor, he said, "Tate, that thing is worth millions." I said, "That truck is worth millions of dollars?" He said, "Yes, because it's the only one of its kind in the world." You're the only one of your kind, even if you have a twin sister, brother, triplets, or quintuplets. They're each one of one in the universe. And Jesus made you that way. Stay in your life no matter what you're going through. Say yes to the Lord today, and ultimately saying yes to yourself. Verse 3 says, "Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made." I got to read that again because I feel like we need to get that. Verse 3 says, "Through him all things were made. Him nothing was made that has been made." It's amazing how we put so much faith in creation instead of the creator. You don't have to believe what I'm saying. You don't have to trust me. But it's in the word. And for us, even if you're a kid listening to this broadcast, you've seen enough today to know that things were created before you got here. And things are sustained without your assistance. I can eat 12 honey buns and my blood sugar not go up if the Lord doesn't want it to, because he's the one that sustains my life. I used to be asthmatic. I haven't had a bout with asthma in over 20 years, all because of the Lord. But whether you think that rubber on your tires keeps your car safe on the road without Jesus' input, rubber comes from trees. Who made trees? Who ultimately made rubber? And mind you, these things were made out of nothing. Only God could do that. Anyone know the number of hairs on your head, the number of times your heart beats, the number of times your lungs expand? Your own parents don't know that. Only the Lord knows that. Without Jesus, we are nothing. The world is nothing. Your job is nothing. Your car, your home, your money is nothing without Jesus. So we should say yes, Lord, to your will and to your way. Yes, to your word. No matter what, yes, Lord. That should always be our response. You can't even exist or sustain your life without Jesus. Amen. Verse 5 says, verse 4, "In him was life, and that life was the light of men." You know what I noticed about light and dark? Light always prevails over darkness. You can be in the pitch black forest. If you cut the flashlight on your cell phone or flashlight, you know, that you have in your hand, that light is going to penetrate and overpower the darkness. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. So, and it's not just talking about men, it's talking about mankind. If we have life that was created by Jesus and sustained by Jesus, We are naturally and spiritually the light of the world as created, sustained beings in this life. It all points back to Jesus. Now, you may be saying, I'm not perfect. I'm not the best. You're one of one in the universe. You are extremely valuable. There's a car where I believe it's like five of them in the world, and they're $5 million apiece. There's one car I saw, they estimated its value at $18 million because it's just one car. It's only one of them in the world. I'm a car guy, so it's a natural reference. But what am I saying? We can't even place a price tag on you or me. If we have life, we have the light because the light of the world, Jesus, the Word, the Creator, made us in His image. So when you're saying yes, Lord, you're saying yes ultimately to you. Amen. I hope someone gets that. Verse 5 says, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There's so many things wrapped up in that statement. This dark world needs light. The light shines in the darkness. Darkness will never understand constantly. How in the world am I constantly being defeated by light? I can't even understand it. Satan, how in the world, time and time again, I'm defeated because of this light. Plots and schemes and plans that I've come up with, they fail because of the light. I wish we could understand that we are all wrapped up in Jesus. He created us. He sustains us. We have victory constantly over and over again in Jesus. But you know, if you're not saved, you're groping around in the darkness, even though you were created to shine brightly to conquer darkness. Because right now, if you're not saved, you're playing for the losing team. See, when Jesus came, this was the beginning of his ministry in this chapter. Ultimately went to the cross because he could, because he was without sin. Remember, he was fully man too, but he did not sin. So he was the only one that could pay for your sins, past, present, and future. And he did. He went to the cross. He agreed to go to the cross before any of us were created because Jesus, God, all-knowing, knew that we were going to sin and we were going to fall and need a Savior. And he didn't just live a life free from sin. He went to the cross in your place. Take it personal. And then he died and he rose from the grave with all power and might to pay for all of your sins, past, present, and future. That happened. See, no matter what, Jesus loves on you and cares about you despite you, because nothing we say or do surprises our God. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm really, really thankful that despite me and my ratchetness and savagery, he loves me. And he gives me constant opportunities to come to ask for forgiveness so that I can get up and move forward. So if you believe, because historically Jesus was here and that happened, they saw an empty grave, an empty tomb. That happened. If you believe that Jesus died for your sins and rose from the grave, that's the first part. The second part is just inviting him into your heart and life. But only you know if you genuinely believe. I genuinely believe, and I invited him into my heart and life October 31st, 1987. I will never forget that. So today, say yes to Jesus. If you believe that he died on the cross and he rose from the grave to pay for all of your sins, that's the first part. The second part, you can just repeat after me in prayer and say, Lord, I am an admitted sinner. I believe that you died on the cross and that you rose from the dead to pay for all of my sins, past, present, and future. I invite you to come into my heart and life so that I can spend eternity with you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Hey, my brother, my sister, if you believed and you prayed that prayer, the Lord created you and he sustained you so that you could conquer darkness as one of the children of the light. It's not anything else that sustains your life or that created you. It's just Jesus. My allergies were going crazy at the beginning of this message. I'm all cleared up now. That's not because of John using nose sprays, because I didn't. That's not because of my own powers, because the Lord sustains my life, and he provides healing and restoration and recovery. And he will continue to do that for you and all of creation. Let us pray. Lord, thank you so much for this word today. We thank you for a brand new day that you allowed us to experience. We thank you for creating us. We thank you for being the Word and being with God and being God. We thank you for sustaining our lives. We thank you for giving us the opportunity to say yes, because we have free will that you gave us. So right now, as a collective and individually, Lord, we say yes to you. We love you, and we're going to prove it in how we live this day, Lord, and moving forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, Pastor Johnson, you always have a way of reminding us and reassuring us and just letting us know that we are important, we are worth something to the Lord, and that we are one of one. You always stress that we are pieces of the master, and we are individually a masterpiece. And, you know, just to be reminded that, like you said, in your ratchetness and savagery, which is a really good explanation of how every single one of us is just by nature, that God still loves us. And no matter what, you know, Jesus died for all of that. In all of our different levels of ratchetness and savagery, the blood of Jesus covers all of that. He loves us so much that he died for us. And all of that stuff is wiped out. And so if we just say yes to him and focus on him and make him the big picture, then everything else just falls in line. So that was an awesome word. Thank you so much for the time that you took to get it, even though it was given to you first thing this morning, and bringing it so eloquently and clear for us to be able to eat on it and feed on it and be able to share with others. And so we're just very grateful, and we thank you so much for the message that you did bring to us today. Amen? Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday. It is the first Saturday in the month of July. Can you believe it? This year is already halfway gone. Unbelievable. But again, God is so good, and we are so grateful. Please excuse my voice. Not really sure what's going on. It's almost like I'm kind of going backwards. Thought I was moving forward, but it's okay, because just like Pastor Johnson said, God provides healing and restoration. And so we're praying for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So just by way of a couple of announcements, Sunday, July 2nd, that's tomorrow, y'all, we will have our Sunday school class at 9 a.m. with our teacher assistant, Pastor Janice Tate, and we will continue on with our praise team leading us in song and worship as we proceed into our worship service that begins at 10 a.m. Pastor O will be bringing the word, so make sure to come on out and enjoy service with us on tomorrow. It also is Communion Sunday, so please make sure you are in attendance for that as well. We are located at River Rouge High School in the LGI Auditorium. Again, Sunday school begins at 9 a.m., and our worship service begins at 10 a.m. Amen? Amen. So Monday, 6 p.m. here on Blog Talk Radio, we have our new Bible class that has begun, and a textbook is required for the class. And so if you plan on being in attendance, the books are available for you. So just visit our church website, rsbm.org, and click on the Bible classes tab to purchase the book. Please make sure to read the assignment before class, and the questions for the discussion of the class are at the end of each chapter. So Deacon Oliver Welch is going to be teaching this Monday. So again, make sure to read your assignment, answer questions, and then tune in on Monday at 6 p.m. for the discussion of the class. Amen. Every Tuesday, excuse me, at 4 p.m., Minister Richard Overall is on Blog Talk Radio with Training Day. Every Wednesday here on Blog Talk Radio. Well, let me go backwards. So the class that we have on Monday is going to be moving to Wednesday, effective July the 12th, okay? So this Wednesday, I believe, is going to be this, yeah, because this Wednesday is July the 5th. So this Wednesday is going to be our last Bible reading class. We are going to be taught the book of Malachi by Deaconess Rebecca Johnson. The questions are available online on our church website, rfcm.org, and Pastor has already sent them out via email. If you're in church on Sunday, you know they'll be on the table for you to get. So our Monday class is going to be moving to Wednesday, and that is going to take the place of the Bible reading class. So Monday class this Monday, Wednesday Bible class this Wednesday, okay? Next Wednesday, July the 12th, the Monday class will be moving to Wednesday, okay? So this Monday, we have the new class at 6 p.m. This Wednesday, we have our last Bible reading class, okay? Rebecca Johnson, Deaconess Rebecca Johnson, again, is teaching the book of Malachi. We will be done with the Old Testament. We've already gone through the Bible multiple times in multiple different ways. So now the Monday class is going to be moving to Wednesday, effective July the 12th at 6 p.m. And then Mondays will once again be open for the, I think Pastor calls them the ad hoc classes that kind of just pop up. And, you know, we do them for 4, 5, 6 weeks. And then our Mondays are open again. Okay? So I hope I made that clear. So, yeah. Just go to our church website, rfcm.org. Amen? Every Friday at 7 p.m., Deaconess Kathy Clyburn is on Blog Talk Radio with her show, Bring Back the Family. Please make sure to join in and comment on the discussion that goes on about our children. Amen. Please remember that all of our classes and our services here on Blog Talk Radio are recorded, archived, and free. Don't forget to check the church website out, again, rfcm.org, and make sure to share it with others. Use it for whatever you need it for. There's classes, services, jobs, books, resources, and more. Again, all available at your fingertips and for free on our church website at rfcm.org. I know I heard Mother Irma the other day ask, when did the Old Testament Bible classes on Blog Talk Radio start? And when Pastor said it was like a couple years, I said, it doesn't seem like it took us that long to get through the Old Testament, but it did. You know, you got longer books, longer chapters. And so, yeah, it probably has been at least a good 3 years or so So when you go to the church website and you want to kind of go back to the beginning, there's a lot of classes, there's a lot of shows, there's a lot of services that we've had. But the beautiful thing, again, is that you can go all the way back to the beginning, to 2009, and I've said this before. It was just Pastor O and the Bible for 2 hours every day doing what the Bible says for years before we started coming in and coming alongside him and helping him teach this. And then we used to have our Bible classes in person in the church building, and then everything kind of shifted way before COVID to Blog Talk Radio. And so many more people all over the world have been able to hear these classes, hear these services, partake in this. So don't take what you do on Blog Talk Radio lightly. If you teach a class, if you pray a prayer, if you preach a sermon, if you, you know, the kids, the announcements, everything, the music, everything is being heard all around the world. And so we might not be able to physically get on a plane or bus or walk to every corner, square inch of this world. But Blog Talk Radio is getting into all of those nooks and crannies that we physically can't get into. And so the word is truly going around the world. So whenever you do something on Blog Talk Radio, don't take it lightly, because people are going to be hearing this later on today. They're going to be hearing it tomorrow. And they're going to be hearing it way into the tribulation period, when most of us who are on Blog Talk Radio now, not all of us, are not going to be here. Amen. So what we're doing is a blessing. What you're doing is a blessing. Amen. And you are definitely earning treasure in heaven. So if you want to go back to the beginning, you just have to go to the Blog Talk Radio page on our church website, rsbm.org. You can go all the way back to 2009 and come all the way up to 2023. You can get your whole Christian life and somebody else's life together too, by all that that we got on Blog Talk Radio. Amen. Amen. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And so we know when you pray first, over time, you will find yourself praying continually. And so we ask your continued prayers for those who are sick, shut in, hospitalized, incarcerated. Please pray for one another personally, and of course, make sure to pray for yourself, our schools, our children, like Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon mentioned in her altar call slash sermon, that, you know, kids are out of school. It tends to be a really bad time for kids because they depend on a lot of the services that come from the schools, such as their meals and such as structure and activities. And when the kids are out of school, sometimes you have a lot of idle children that have a lot of trouble that they can get into. So we most definitely need to continue to pray for our children, especially while they are out of school. You've got parents who have to work. You know, some parents have multiple jobs, and you just don't have anyone to watch your children, and it gets to be really stressful and really difficult, and our kids are kind of just out here willy-nilly. So please continue to pray for our children and for all of the parents out here. Continue to pray for our doctors and our medical professionals, of course, our nation, our world, our leaders as they're constantly facing, you know, major decisions that affect us. Continue to pray for those who are missing and exploited, being trafficked and, you know, suffering different forms of abuse. Please don't forget to pray for all of our brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world. And we know that the list of things to pray for is inexhaustible. So just continue to pray again for everyone, everywhere, all the time. Pray for Elder Joseph Stevens, who is recuperating at home. Please keep him and his wife, Cheryl, in your prayers. She is back in the hospital at the time that I received these announcements. She was in the hospital. Continue to pray for Deaconess Nicole Seabrooks. Praise God. She completed her chemo treatment, but continue to pray for her and lift her up as she approaches her upcoming radiation treatment. Continue to pray for Deaconess Lisa Thornton, Nico Gaston, Doris Gaither, Ed Johnson. Please pray for Darius Freeman and his mom, Keela, who will be having surgery in August. And again, all of our caregivers, nurses, aides, doctors, everyone in the medical profession, again, everywhere. Don't forget to pray for all of our mothers on the move at Runner for Christ Ministries. We love them so much. Mother Cheryl, Mother Marilyn, Mother Irma, and Mother Persia. Again, our government and all of our leaders of our country and our communities. please continue to pray for all bereaved, grieving, and mourning families everywhere. And again, we do ask, as a bereavement, that you continue to please pray for the family of Clinton Cooper, especially his wife, Gwen. Amen? Amen. All right, y'all. It's July. It's a new month. So we want to say happy birthday to all of the Blog Talk listeners all around the world who are celebrating their birthday today, kicking off the month of July, or who are celebrating at any point in time this month. Amen. So one of my favorites, I love her so much, my sister, Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon, celebrates her birthday today. So y'all need to send her a text, shout her out, give her some Cash App, whatever you got to do. Amen. Tell her happy birthday. Clifton Davis celebrates on the 2nd. Hunter celebrates on the 4th. Malachi Freeman celebrates on the 8th. Yours truly, me, and my birthday buddy Logan, we celebrate on the 12th. DeAndra and Isaiah celebrate on the 14th. Our favorite vice president, Avetris Collins, as well as Ryan, celebrates on the 16th. Baby Gia, who is Isaiah's sister, she's so cute. She's going to be celebrating her first birthday on the 18th. Deaconess Nicole Seabrook on the 19th, and my pookie, Deaconess Lisa Thornton, celebrates her birthday on the 21st. Amen. So y'all know how we do it. Everybody will be getting their shout-outs and birthday love all this month. And so we say happy birthday, much love, and blessing to you all. Amen. Amen. And last but not least is your devotional. I feel like this entire service today, was all up in my devotional, okay? Songs played, scriptures read, preach word, preach the prayers. I'm like, they just all in my devotional. Okay, so your devotional for today is entitled Finishing the Race. And you know it's by Pastor Jeff Shreve. You know, I love to read his devotionals. They're a little bit longer, but because it's Saturday, we have time. So it reads as follows. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. Around A.D. 67, the Apostle Paul was in a dark and dirty prison in Rome. He was awaiting execution. He knew that the time of his departure from planet Earth was coming soon. He was not fearful, but excited to be with Christ and enter into the joy of his master. You see, Paul had lived his Christian life sold out to Jesus. He was not perfect, but he was not lukewarm either. He finished his race in full stride, still passionately in love with Jesus and on fire for serving him. Paul could not wait to show Jesus all that had been accomplished with the opportunities the Lord afforded him. What will it be like when you depart? All too often, people face death without the humble confidence and joyful expectation that Paul had. So many people face death with fear, regret, and shame. Many have wasted much of their lives pursuing fame, fortune, position, possessions, and pleasure. But at the end of life, worldly success means absolutely nothing. The Bible clearly states, riches do not profit in the day of wrath. And that's Proverbs chapter 11, verse 4. What really matters in life is this. One, did you truly know the Lord Jesus and have a personal relationship with him? And two, did you truly live your life to please him above all else? If your honest answer to question number one is no, you are in terrible trouble unless you sincerely surrender your very soul to Jesus Christ and receive him as Savior and Lord. That's John chapter 1, verse 12. If your honest answer to question number two is no, you need to make changes in the way you are living, and you need to start today. Paul knew he would have to give an account of his life to the Lord when he died. He knew that it paid to serve Jesus. The knowledge of that truth kept him faithful to the end, even when times were tough, even when he felt like quitting. You can finish like Paul. No matter where you are today in your spiritual life, it ain't over till it's over. Amen. If you still have breath, you still have time to turn it around for Christ. Maybe you have fallen on the racetrack of life and have not gotten back up. Or maybe you have said the fight is too hard and have left the ring. The Lord's hand is stretched out to you. He says, I know you have blown it, but I am not through with you yet. My grace is sufficient for you. Take my hand, get back in the race, and finish strong. Will you make it your life's ambition to finish strong for the Lord? Will you choose to love and encourage rather than criticize and condemn? Will you choose to stand up for truth rather than succumb to the lies of the culture? Will you invest your time, talent, and treasure into serving others and furthering the kingdom of God rather than serving yourself and furthering the kingdom of self? When the time for your departure comes, you too can have the confidence of Paul if you will live your life totally surrendered to Jesus Christ as your master and king. The Lord invites you to come to him. What is your answer to his gracious invitation? Amen? So you sit on that question, and if you don't believe in Jesus, after that sermon that was preached today, and the whole theme of today is saying yes to the Lord, seems like saying yes is the benefit that you need, because when it's over, there are no do-overs. Amen? Amen. And those are your announcements.
Amen, amen. I heard Erykah Badu say in one of the songs I love that maybe next time we'll be butterflies. I don't believe that, though, but anyway.
We will not be butterflies, okay?
We will not be butterflies. We will not. Really hot people, but anyway.
Yes, not amen. Butterflies.
You know, I love it when I heard him talking about say yes to the Lord again. That is the theme of the whole show. And, you know, I don't believe, people probably believe we got together, all three of us, you, me, and Jonathan, and we decided, and Kathy, and we decided to work this out. No, it just happened that way. It's just the Holy Spirit knitted it all together and got the message of say yes to the Lord out today.
Amen.
Thank you, Crystal. Appreciate
you.
You're
welcome. Absolutely.
I know. Is Big Man in Florida now?
So he just texted me, and they're in Alabama. They went to Dad's best friend's, well, frat brother house, and I guess they had spent the night over there and got breakfast and all kinds of fancy stuff. So they should be there in a couple hours. And so, yeah, he's living his life, and I ain't mad. I'm not mad.
Amen. Next
get
time
to
you
it
talk
before adulting starts to adulting. So, hey, get to it before you got to be grown and having to pay a mortgage. So I'm not mad.
Exactly. Have fun before life
that's
is
right.
real. Yeah.
Hello. Okay. Amen.
Next time you text him, tell him I said, what's up?
You know I will. Absolutely.
All right. Be blessed, my sister.
Amen. I sure will. You too.
All right. Amen. We thank God for each and every one of you. You know, you heard Crystal talking about the end of the Bible reading class coming up. Well, believe it or not, we actually started, it was called What the Bible Says. And that started on 12/5/2016. And here we are in 2023. Have 5 chapters a week from then to now. We read through the whole Bible and had discussion on it, had review questions on it. And, you know, it was a big thing with the Lord when we were, when I was setting the last show. And he said, you did it. And I said, you did it. And what he told me so many years ago happened exactly like he said it would. He wanted the Bible on tape. He wanted it all done on tape where people were talking and people were discussing, just like we did, and so that he could use it however he wants to use it. As you've heard it said here a million times, people everywhere are listening. People everywhere are tuning in. The Lord has spread us through Blog Talk Radio all over the world. Wherever they have a phone or an internet service, they can pick us up, and they have been doing that. And we thank the Lord for that, even though it began to reach 7 people in our church who couldn't make it to Bible class. Jesus said, what you going to do? I didn't know. John McFall, Kathy Clyburn, Blog Talk Radio, here we are. That's how it happened. But I thank God for each and every one of you who have assisted me all along the way, who came alongside me to help me pull that off. And now we'll just like Crystal said, being that Wednesday night class, and amen. And again, the Lord says there will be rewards for everybody who participated in that effort. He knows who everybody is, and, you know, that includes people like Mother Phillips, Stubblefield, Louisa. They were some of the big winners who participated the most in the early going, amen, until they left this world. And so, amen. So, amen. I want to thank all of you and praise God for you. Couldn't have done it by myself, and the Lord knew that, and so he brought some awesome people alongside me to make that happen. And to all of you who attended the class, the Lord knows, amen, you've been in that class for quite some time. And if you've been a member of Running for Christ Ministry since, say, 04 and forward, yes, because that's when we really started with all these classes, Christian doctrine, Christian history, and everything else, okay, then you've learned quite a lot. Amen. Amen. And now it's time. We got the teaching. We got the learning. Now all we got to do is get to the doing. And we're doing that. So we thank God for, again, for each and every one of you. And don't forget Tuesday, it's the 4th of July. Eat way too much and then exercise way too much the next day. Okay. And I believe training day this Tuesday won't be because it's the holiday. So remember that. Put that on your list. Amen. For those of you who dying to know, those of you who like, you just waiting for me to say it. Yeah, my truck is almost finished. Yep, I went and got the exhaust on it, got the O2 sensors in. All I have to do is fix the power steering pump and a little bitty transmission leak. And, yeah, see, y'all needed to know that because your whole life wouldn't. Well, my wife's truck is broke, so pray for it. Pray for it. Her starter needs a healing. Hallelujah. I need three people to say, heal her starter, Jesus. Heal her. No, wait a minute. He's going to make me do it. But anyway, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Y'all have a good day. Y'all pray for me. I have to go out with my wife. Pray for me. Okay, she say it ain't going to be that long this time. But I done heard that 37 years in a row. It ain't happened yet. So pray for me. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. Let me not forget this benediction. Everybody repeat after me. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace until we all meet again. And the whole church said amen.
Call. Yeah. 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 sit